Have you noticed that when you go into a restaurant or a lounge and people are talking, let's say there are only four people in there, Bart. People are talking, there's some noise coming from it, I guess.
Crosstalk.
And other people tend to talk a little bit over that. But right. More people come in, more people talk, more crosstalk. It gets louder and louder and louder. And by the end of the evening, this place is so loud, not because of just the noise of people that came in, but because people are shouting over the other noise.
Exactly. And you hit many issues there, but there's a real failure of the marketplace in some sense there, because we're all imposing third-party effects on others with our conversation, with the signal to you and me in that case is a noise to the other guy. And that accumulates, and it creates the background noise, then you and I have to speak louder to have the same level of understanding or signal-to-noise ratio. That in turn means we're increasing everyone else's noise, they speak louder, and so it goes. That kind of effect, George, it never really goes the other way. It's like high school or put a bunch of kids together. It just tends to get louder and louder and louder. If this summer, if you've been at a swimming pool, for example, you'll see that effect very swiftly take hold.
You know, one of my pet peeves, I listen in on people who are on their cell phones. Not that I listen in on them, but this is an example. You might be at this restaurant and somebody's talking at his table, and he's so loud.
Right.
I mean, you could hear him, like, you know, tables and tables away. Doesn't he realize that the whole place can hear him?
Yeah, that's a... one of these problems of the digital age, an unanticipated effect of these wonderful mobile communications, George, is that we tend to speak on those cell phones in public as if we were in private in our own room. And for worse, if the other people are strangers, well, you tend not to treat them as well as if they were people you knew. And then when other people start to do that, well, that in effect says it's okay to do that, and it all combines here. But it's a real problem. It's getting worse. I'll give you an example. When I travel, I notice that when the airplane lands, and taxis up to the stopping point,
right.
Stops, and the light comes on, and everybody's eager to get off, and they jump up to get their luggage out, but no one's going anywhere for 5 minutes. At this point, all the cell phones come out, and everyone's blaring into the cell phone, speaking to people waiting for them as if no one else is present. And once that starts, other people seem to feel that's their cue to keep doing it. And overall, there's been a really serious loss of civility in public places just in the last 10 years from these kinds of devices.
What is happening to our hearing because noise seems to be getting louder and louder?
You know, all the studies show, George, that the hearing is getting worse, and when you tend to notice it's getting worse, it's too late. On average, the numbers show that about 10% of Americans, about 30 million, have some kind of hearing loss. But that's a general number that's been around for a long time. If we look at teenagers, for example, a study fairly recently in JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, found that 15% of them have hearing loss. So that's not due to aging like it is across the general population. It's due to simply injecting so much noise, so much sound energy directly into the ear canal. And it seems to be getting a lot worse with devices like the iPod, and not just to pick on the iPod, but any kind of Walkman or headset device. If you put sound into your ear canal above about 85 decibels, which measures the sound intensity, you're at risk of hearing loss, and you really ought to have a checkup at least once a year. In Europe, for example, France has been limiting the devices that you can sell there to 100 decibels, which is still at a dangerous sound level, and kids routinely go beyond that. But in this country, most devices don't have that, and it's something that's being litigated right now. I think we'll see very soon that the effects of the product's liability litigation is that you will either have a governor on it that won't allow you to go that high, or as Apple and other companies have done, there's software you can load in so that you get an emergency signal. But an easy rule of thumb is if you're listening to an iPod, and you know many millions of those have been sold, and they can be wonderful devices,
sure.
you ought to get your hearing checked at least once a year.
What about someone like me, Bart, 4 or 5 hours a night with headsets on constantly?
You ought to get your hearing checked. It's still a risk, and one of the problems, George, is it's not just the sheer energy released at a moment in time. It's how it's averaged over time. And so if you're not listening too loudly, so if someone, you could speak or hear someone in the room, and it just isn't blaring, that should be okay. But when you're still directing that directly into your ear canal, I would bet if we could go in and look, you've lost a lot of the little cilia hairs. And the way to think about that, George, is a comb. that inside the inner ear and the cochlea, a lot's going on there. But from an engineering point, there's frequency detectors, and each hair in there detects a given frequency. And once you, and so it looks like a comb. But once you bend or break those comb teeth, that's it. They can't be repaired.
They don't grow back, huh?
They don't grow back, and you've got to knock out a fair number before you notice a problem. And it can occur because you got hit on the head, you took the wrong medicine, or more commonly today, you simply blare the noise. And it can lead to some very bad effects. Like some of those comb teeth, so to speak, can just bend, and it sends a false signal, as if a signal is present, and you get a very bad case of tinnitus. And some people report, in effect, hearing a train going in their head, and there's nothing you can do for them. Now, at some point, we hope to replace that with cochlear implants. In particular, one model is involving carbon nanotubes, which would little nanotube devices which would act like the hairs. But that's a long way off, and it would involve very invasive surgery.
Now, Rush Limbaugh has an implant, a cochlear implant.
Correct.
What kind of device does he have?
You know, I'm not sure of the innards on it. The general structure of those is you have a device that receives a signal. Often you may carry it in a wallet or somewhere else, and that's shot through a wireless link into a chip-based device embedded in the ear. And by the way, some of the most recent work on that, right here in Los Angeles at the House Ear Institute, I visited recently, actually is exploring adding noise to that. As odd as it sounds, I gave a lecture on noise to the researchers there, and there was a patient who had one of these cochlear implants in his brain, in effect, a portion of his brain, and that actually added noise to improve the signal, if you listen to me discuss the concept of noise.
If you looked at, assuming hearing aids were available, let's say, over the last 50 years, just for lack of a better year or better number, would you say that today more people have hearing problems than 50 years ago?
Well, I think statistically there's no question about that, not just in the absolute number, George, but in the ratios. And again, the concern is the explosion of it for very young people, and that this is irreversible. There's a lot of rock groups and rock stars who have jumped on the bandwagon warning others about listening to music, but typically a rock concert can hit levels of 100, 120 decibels, 130 decibels. You can damage it just by attending a concert. I mean, you can damage your hearing by simply mowing the lawn if you're not careful.